Are. Couple of weeks ago, I attended a weekend workshop at Kripalu, the yoga retreat center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. The workshop was called Restorative Yoga and Sound Healing. I brought along my Eitayim so I could study today's Parsha, Naso, and begin preparing for our discussion today. Studying Torah while attending this workshop gave me new insights into this parsha that I hope you will enjoy. Naso begins with some disturbing laws about women. I don't even want to go there. And it ends with a very repetitive section where the census of each tribe of the 12 tribes is taken, the list of the offerings of each tribe. But right in the middle of the parsha, right before the census of tribal offerings, is one of the oldest prayers still in continuous use in the world. It is also the oldest piece of biblical literature that archaeologists have yet found, dating back to amulets that predate the Babylonian exile as far back as the 7th century BCE, when the first temple stood in Jerusalem. And this is, of course, the priestly blessing. May Yud Heh Vav Heh Hashem, the name Lord, watch over you. May the face of Hashem shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the face of God shine upon you and give you peace. In ancient times, the priests would offer this blessing to the members of the tribes, and the words would be inscribed on amulets for people to carry and wear on their bodies when they were away from the community for safe travels. Words engraved on objects had great power back then. Even today, we treat the letters Yud Heh Vav Heh with reverence. By the way, we treat the Torah and any piece of writing with this combination of letters on it. We kiss the books that fall on the floor. We bury the texts that are no longer usable. Writing was considered a sacred activity, and carrying words on one's body was as good as carrying the love and care of the community when one was away from it. Today, we recite this blessing to children on Friday evenings and to each other in the sanctuary. These words, whether written or spoken, offer us solace, a sense of historical continuity, and a direct connection to our ancestors and the source of all being. In the Kripalu workshop, I learned about sound healing. Has anybody ever heard of this? Oh, good. A few people have. Great. Well, I'd never heard of it before. The practice is rooted in the reality that all vibrations have an effect on our bodies, whether we notice them or not. And our various brain waves, gamma, beta, alpha, theta, delta, can be stimulated by the vibrations of sound that enter our body through our ears, but also through our bodies themselves. Since we are more than 50% water, our bodies can feel the vibrations of sound, the way water ripples in the wind or in the vibrations of boats or fish. Through relaxation, such as in restorative yoga, we can create a sturdy foundation in our bodies for receiving these healing vibrations of sound. When our bodies are relaxed and our breathing is even, the liquids of our bodies move unimpeded throughout. Then, when we listen to music from voices or through rhythmic instruments, our bodies respond and send messages to our brains that can create healing throughout our bodies. It was a profound experience for me, to say the least. In preparing to receive the sound vibrations, we learned how to use pillows and blankets as props to allow our body to fully relax without any stress. And then we also learned about the benefits of four-part breathing. This morning, as I introduced our meditation, I asked you to pay attention to your breath and see if you could balance out the in-breath, the out-breath, and then also see if you could balance out the pauses. Were any of you able to do this? Yep. Okay. That's four-part breathing, basically. When the in-breath and the out-breath and the pauses are all even, you see there's four parts, and the inhale stimulates and energizes your body, the exhale relaxes your body, And that relaxation activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the opposite of the sympathetic, which is the fight or flight. So the parasympathetic, as they call it, rest and digest, is the way they described it. So in between the inhale and the exhale is the rest. And this is where the magic happens. This is that space where in yoga, they say where the pose lands. So you land your pose at that silent space. And that pause is a place of peace, an emptiness, the expansiveness, that quiet aliveness that we describe here, where it seems like nothing is happening because there's no in-breath and no out-breath. But in fact, everything around us is still happening, and we are just the observer at rest, watching and listening. The four parts of the breath are like a wave. You inhale up, rest, pause, exhale down, rest, pause, inhale up. As I practiced this four-part breathing in the workshop, I thought about the four letters of Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. I thought about the priestly blessing and how each line of the blessing highlights those letters, Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. Reb Moshe, you have taught us that we can use the four Hebrew letters as meditation in our body and breathe into those body parts. We have the head, Yod, the arms, Hey, Vav, the spine, and Hey for the legs. If we add the image of the wave to a meditation on these letters, it would go something like this. You breathe in, Yod, you rest at the top, the crest of the wave, Hey. You slide down, the out breath, Vav, to the bottom, the trough of the wave, the second Hey. And then repeat, like riding a giant ocean wave, is how I envisioned it as I was in that workshop. So up, 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 yud, 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 up, 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 yes. And then there's a rest. You look around the sky and the sun, and you feel the expansiveness, that hey, quiet. And then you slide down into the quiet darkness deep in the ocean. You see the fish and the corals, the colors abounding, the rocks, the sand, shadow and light, all flickering and still. And then up, yes, yud, 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 yes. And over and over and over again. Enlightenment is often described as if we are dissolving into the great ocean of being. Yet how joyful and profound it can sometimes be to not completely dissolve, but instead to ride the waves in and out, up and down, between rest and action, between shadow and sunlight, between wet and dry, between yin and yang. So let's talk a little more about the blessing itself. So in verse 6 of chapter 2, we read, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the people Israel and I will bless them. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks of blessed memory writes about these verses. He says, the literary structure is precise. In the original Hebrew, the first line has three words, the second has five, and the third has seven. These prime numbers have special significance throughout the Mosaic books. Three, five, and sevenfold repetitions always signify a key word. Equally precise, the first line has 15 letters, that's 3 by 5. The second line has 20 letters, 4 by 5, and the third line has 25 letters, 5 by 5. Okay. Rabbi Sacks goes on to explain that, as have many scholars before him, that the first line, may God bless you and keep you, refers to material blessings, food and shelter, and that type of thing. And then the second line I found very interesting. What Rabbi Sacks says that, may God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. He says that it offers us a definition that is not sullied with Christian overtones, yeah, a definition of grace that I find is not sullied with Christian overtones, what grace might mean. He describes grace as that quality which sees the best in others and seeks the best for others. It is a combination of gentleness and generosity. He explains that when we say, "May God make his face shine on you," we are actually saying, "May the divine presence be evident in you. May the one who guides us see or leave a visible trace of that godness on the face that you show others." So basically, people are seeing our face, they're seeing God in us. That way, that then when we are so full of godness and so full of grace, it shows to others. Others see our gentleness and our generosity. And this is grace. And this blew me away. The third blessing, the third line of the blessing, may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Here we have Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh again, we have face again, and then we add this idea of peace. Rabbi Sacks reminds us that to make peace in the world, we must be at peace with ourselves. Sorry about that. I don't know if you hear the trains outside. Good. Okay, I hear it. It's really bothering me, but I'm glad you don't hear it. So, to make peace with the world, to make peace in the world, we must be at peace with ourselves, he says. To be at peace with ourselves, we must know that we are unconditionally valued, that we are unconditionally loved. There's a new book that just came out in 2024. It's called Judaism is About Love by Shai Held. He is a theologian, rabbi, and he's the president of the Hadar Institute. He wrote this book to counter a common misconception, even among rabbinical students, that Judaism is just about law and Christianity is about love. The book is readable, and it's a very detailed analysis of sacred Jewish texts and traditions. Held describes the entire priestly blessing as itself, above all, about love. He references a 16th century rabbi, Shlomo Ephraim Lunschitz, who explains that in synagogue, when the Kohanim bless the congregation, there is a prayer leader who recites the words before the Kohanim do, not to remind them of the simple words of the blessing, because it's not that hard to memorize, but actually in order to mediate the blessing for the Kohanim so that they are, like, quote, vessels full to overflowing with God's blessing. The Kohanim, now full of blessing, feeling fully loved by God, can channel that love to the rest of the congregation. Without the experience of God's love itself, the Kohanim would instead be empty vessels, pouring the blessing into other empty vessels, that is the congregation, which is truly tragic. Held then explains that when parents bless their children with this blessing, they are like the prayer leader of the Kohanim, filling their children with love so that they have enough love in order to build the capacity of love in themselves to love others. We all need to know that we are loved in order that we can truly love others. We all need to feel the overwhelming love that cannot be contained. 2 days ago was Shavuot. 2 days ago, in the mythic time of our ancestors, we went up to the mountaintop with Moses, and received the teachings that would guide us into the future. Our world exploded with an expression of great love. At best, we were prepared because we meditated, we studied, maybe we stayed up all night. And still, it was and still is a miraculous, overflowing love. On this mythic mountain of our faith, in this mythic time, we were so overwhelmed by this great love that even now, if we pay attention, it can feel like we will explode. Perhaps this is what the universe felt like right before the Big Bang. So full of love that we cannot contain it within our small bundle of matter and energy that we call our bodies. What is this great love but a heat, a constant pulse that vibrates through our bodies, energizing us, breathing us, guiding us, inspiring us, showing us the way of peace? Even when we cannot stand to know the answer, we know it. When our hearts, our minds, and our souls are open and relaxed, without barriers, we are able to receive the blessings, the vibrations, and the music that flows without ceasing through the universe. When we sit, as we do each Friday, and as we just did today, we make room for the pulse of the universal heartbeat, the never-ending interaction between matter and energy, light and dark, space and time, breath and no breath. The path is clear, Naso teaches. The way toward relieving the pent-up energy and releasing the great love that is within us is to pass it on, to bless others, to be a vessel, a conduit. You choose your own words. How about this one? To be a great bubbling cauldron, or a pulsing heart, or an overflowing cup of wine, or even better, fresh sourdough or beer or champagne, something that bubbles so much that the cork explodes in a great burst of joy and laughter and celebration. We are loved. Come, everyone, join us. Let us ride together, hand in hand, the sacred waves of energy as they move in and out, up and down, out and back, to expand and to contract, to extend our arms and to gather them together in a great bear hug. Within you and me, and within the breathing one, Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, that great pulse that moves through all, the universe with a capital U. The big uni, the big plural we, the great we in French, the great yes. Yes, I am here. Yes, you are here. Yes, we are all here. Hineni, hinenu. And now is all there is. I'd like to end up with a blessing. Us each blessing each other with this ancient priestly blessing. I'll recite the blessing. You can sing along with me with your mics muted, and we can join in blessing each other. And if you are a Kohen and or you just want to practice your Dr. Spock hands, you can do so. Please join me in saying together. Thank you so much. I look forward to having a discussion.